Moore. Open. Catch. Touchdown.
This is just so creative. It really is.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
He's not always the speed guy going around, but very often you'll see him give a little wiggle and go right through the tackle. He has that kind of power.
Fourth and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And for the first time in my lifetime, Nick, and yours, and pretty much everybody who probably listens, because I don't know if anybody over 50 can download a podcast, we have a Super Bowl victory edition of the 4th and 1 podcast. How excited are you?
How excited am I? Well, first off, my mom is able to download it. So,
Oh, my bad. Sorry, Trudy.
Tough break on that one there, pal.
I'm going to take the L.
Yeah, take that L.
Like the 49ers.
Oh, that's a hot mic. No, look, I mean, all I got to say to that is, you got to fight for your right to Lombardi! I think I blew out the speaker. This is the first time I've actually been able to be excited since it actually happened, because, you know, I had to do this thing called a job and edit
and
get
both
sound and, you know, not say words and keep it all internal. So this is the first time I blew out the speakers in your car. I apologize. Please don't send me a bill.
So, you're going to have to help me equalize the levels on that one.
Nope, we're leaving. Blowing out the speakers.
No, man, you and I both were here at the station, doing our thing. I don't think I've been able to digest it yet. It's not real for me yet, because I haven't spoken to anyone outside of what we're, you know. I mean, I've been at a computer, like, posting stuff, and I know you've been editing, and it still doesn't feel real to me. Like, but if I'm being honest, this whole 2 weeks didn't feel real. I don't have a frame of reference for what going to a Super Bowl, much less winning one, was. But, man, it feels good. I mean, it feels good.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I was very thankful that we were on air for as long as we were after the Super Bowl, because if we weren't, there's a strong possibility there would be $1,000 or less in my bank account right now, because I would have bought everything from the pro shop and they would have been like, your bill is $1,000 plus, you know, $500 in taxes.
Yeah.
So I am very thankful that that happened, because I would have bought a lot of stuff on pure excitement. So I'm going to make some financial smart decisions and spend like $500.
Man, I'm telling you, though, I mean, yeah, we were on live for 2.5 hours after the Super Bowl.
Two and a half hours.
Yeah, it was about 9:30, and we didn't go off the air till midnight.
I mean, once Damien Williams scored that go ahead touchdown, I got a second to celebrate. Then I was like, oh yeah, we got to get stuff doing.
Here's the truth. I was in the process of writing the game story that went up on our website, and I looked up to see that Damien had scored. I still haven't seen the play itself, because I was in the middle of writing about Frank Clark and the sack on fourth down, and you know how they got to that point.
You want me to help you? He bounced it out.
Yeah, no, I knew it went left. That's all I know.
And he took him to church.
Yeah, no, I saw that part. I was, but I got to be honest, man. You know, I know that the Chiefs have come back, from double digit deficits in both of the previous games, but those were in the first half, and those weren't against the 49ers,
and those weren't with the Super Bowl on the line,
right? And like when they got, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, when they went into the fourth quarter and then that first drive, Pat throws that second interception on the tip pass to Tyreek, I just thought, it's not their day. It's not their day. You know, I mean, you know, he made an uncharacteristic mistake on the first interception. He's a little bit behind Tyreek, and Tyreek's trying to make a play. I can't fault Tyreek for doing it, because he's trying to pull that ball in with one hand. He knows that's a big play for them right there. You know, and then I don't think the defense is getting enough credit for the job that they did in this game at all, because, you know, I know, yeah, I mean, the 49ers, had a good per play average, but when the defense needed to have a backbone, when the defense needed to step up, when Chris Jones needed to bat a pass or two, when they needed to get off the field on third down, those guys found a way, and, you know, they get that stop, and I don't know if you were feeling the same way, but when they get the ball back with 8:53 to go in the fourth quarter, that's it. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I felt like if they don't go down and get a touchdown, that's it. This Lombardi dream is gone.
Yeah, I mean, right before they were able to get that Kelce touchdown, I mean, that one right there, I was...
yeah, and that was the drive. They got the ball with 8:53, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, before that, like, I was like, they got to figure something out this drive, because the problem they were having in that game at that point is, one, the Niners offensively, they were just torching them off the edge with the run and then with the misdirection, and they were getting the linebackers caught in traffic, and then they were getting them to bite up on play fakes, and then they were just crushing them with that hash to numbers throws that it's like every time I hear it when I say that hash to numbers thing, because that's the way Garoppolo is capable of throwing, it's like painting by numbers, the way that I see it pops in my head every time, like that he's painting by the numbers. All right. Right there, that's the comfort zone. But don't draw outside the lines.
He gets that from Tom Brady, though. I mean, you can see the New England influence in the way that he, you know, in his style of play.
Yeah. So I mean, whenever they're able to get that one, I was like, okay, defense really got to step up on this one. And the defense was able to get pressure when it mattered.
The time. So I had already, my 12-year-old was at home. My wife, who's a saint, came
Angie
by.
Is, yeah. Yes. And I got to see all three of them, yeah. Which I was happy about.
So like.
P.S. Angie got another hug from me.
Oh, I know. She told me. She said she went up and didn't give you a choice. Angie.
No. I was willing
okay.
on this one.
For those okay. who don't know, my wife has fed Nick on multiple occasions. So I don't, maybe if I cook you a steak, do I get a hug? Because I for those who are wondering, I have not gotten a post Super Bowl hug.
And you will not, unless that's the best steak I've ever had in my life.
All right. So, challenge accepted.
So it better be the Lombardi of steaks,
Todd. But my wife. She knew that I was a little disappointed that, one, I wasn't in Miami one way or another. And she knew that then having to work at my desk, you know, wasn't my first choice of options for viewing the Super Bowl. So to make me feel at home a little bit more, she brought in some Rotel with some hamburger in it like and pigs in a blanket, which are my favorite Super Bowl snack, and some buffalo chicken dip and a veggie tray, because she wants us to be healthy. But
and that's why, that's one of the many reasons that you married Angie.
That's right. My
now, if you had said that she made the cracked chicken that I've had at your guys' house before,
yeah.
I would have been furious and thrown things right now, because that is the equivalent of winning a Lombardi.
Yeah, no, she saves that for when you come over.
Now I feel pretty.
Yeah, because we haven't had it
pretty.
Since.
Thank
but she brought everything in the second quarter, brought a whole spread to share with the office and make us all feel better. And for that, I am eternally grateful. It made my night. And so, you know, my kids get Nick Jacobs hugs, but nothing so
in
far.
In all fairness,
for me.
Colin and Harrison did not. Angie was the only
one. Was the only one?
Only one.
All right.
So when Colin and Harrison feed me amazing food, then there's a possibility.
Well, hey, I'm just telling you, you know.
Oh, and I know this isn't Super Bowl related, but I need to dispel this rumor, because it's starting to phase into this. People keep thinking I go to Wendy's when I'm happy.
No.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. Like, people keep thinking I need to go crush a Wendy's tonight. They keep sending that to me. I'm like, no, that is the place I go to eat my feelings when I'm sad.
Yeah.
So we need to lock this down. Wendy's, you don't want to see me at a Wendy's.
No, the places that need to be careful tomorrow are barbecue joints. So
you're 100% right, because I was thinking about two of them.
Yeah. No, pregame it's Panda Express. After
which I
a
did
lock.
Again today.
Yeah, right?
Guess what? 3-0 in the playoffs. You're
there you
welcome.
Go. There
I'm
you go.
Sure that had complete impact on
everything
the fourth
to do with it, right? Like, same with me. I haven't gotten a haircut during the playoff run. I don't think I've gotten a haircut during their, you know, what is it? 9-game win streak now. So I just may never cut my hair again.
You can now, because they got a parade. We're moving on. You can cut your hair whatever you want to. All I know is
maybe I'll grow it out and put it up in a man bun.
I have a shirt rotation that, since they won their first game against the Texans, so Friday it is actually a red shirt, and it was pure coincidence. I didn't actually celebrate Red Friday.
Lies.
That's unprofessional.
Lies.
If you're covering the team type thing.
I agree. I
yes.
agree.
And then Saturday is my magenta shirt. And then you say I have the black shirt on. So those have been the same three every playoff week. they've been clean. They've been washed. Don't worry. But these are some of the sacrifices I was willing to make for the Chiefs to be champions.
Yeah.
But
and look, they got that way because Patrick Patrick Mahomes. Like, I was texting my the whole reason we got off of this tangent, I was texting my wife to tell her, hey, prepare Harrison for the fact that, you know, when they were down 20-10 entering the fourth quarter and the Chiefs just were having trouble getting anything, I said, hey, prepare Harrison for the fact that I don't think the Chiefs aren't going to win. And my wife texted me back, why do you say that? I said, they're just not doing the things they need to win the football game. And it just seemed like everything was such a struggle. And then third and 15, you know, the first down pass to Tyreek Hill gets overturned. And you're thinking, boy, this is a tough spot to be in. Mm-hmm. And then really for the only time in the game until the last few seconds when you know, they threw it down the field to DeMarcus Robinson to run out the clock, Patrick took a shot deep. And it was like a dagger. I mean, I think even San Francisco knew at that point, like, once Patrick hit that play and they made that count, and then despite Troy Aikman saying they were going to go to a one-on-one matchup on the bottom of the screen, I think when you're at the 15, everybody in Chiefs Kingdom knew that's going to Kelce, because Kelce's one-on-one in the slot there, too. And in the red zone, who's Patrick going to there? It's Travis every time.
Right.
Get the pass interference. Kelce gets the touchdown. I think at that point, Kansas City knew, hey, get a stop, even if it's just forcing a field goal, and Pat's going to go win this football game for you.
And you know what I love the most about what you said there? Troy Aikman threw the shade back in September about, call me back when he wins 33% of the Super Bowls I do. Had to do the color for the game where Patrick just made him eat his words.
Yeah, pick up your phone, Troy. It's Patrick calling.
Don't
and
worry,
the rest of Chiefs Kingdom.
I quote tweeted him and said, hi.
I know. I saw it.
But now, look, I mean, I think what's... what's really big here at the end of the day is, I mean, offensive line, Eric Fisher really struggled against Bosa.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming him. It's just
no, in fairness.
So good. He's so good.
NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. And if you listen to Mitch Morse on our preview podcast talk about, you know, you hear hype about rookies, but, you know, Nick Bosa is the real deal. We saw it today. From the second snap of the game when he batted a pass to the end, Nick Bosa was a monster.
Relentless. And I know this sounds, I'm just going to be honest, like, he's much better than his brother, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not being mean. It's just like,
I'm sure he's better than his dad, too.
Probably. I'm just saying, Nick's just relentless rusher. Like, I have nothing but respect for, I mean, I liked him coming out of the draft, but what he's become now, oh my goodness, man. What he did tonight. I mean, I'd watch tape of him all year, and I'm not saying he wasn't good, but, like, he turned it to a different level in the Super Bowl game. Like, that was really, really impressive. And, I mean, Duvernay struggled, and the interior offensive line had some struggles, and they were picking up and passing awesome stuff and some of the one-on-ones.
Wisniewski was all right.
Wisniewski... there was one time where he got a little pressure on the inside.
Yeah, but for the most part, he was all right.
Yeah, but I mean,
and Mitchell Schwartz didn't hear much from the right side. I mean, Bosa did some things, but
you know what I was really sad about is D Ford didn't get to flash the 5-5 for how many seconds he shows up in a game. Sorry, I'm still salty about that.
I'm still salty about is when they misannounced that it was Frank Clark who was offsides, and people start throwing shade on Twitter. I hope Mike Florio and everybody know it was actually Tano Passanio, and you, sir, owe Frank Clark an apology.
Now, something we haven't got to yet that I really want to get to for the most part. Andy Reid.
Man.
Go ahead, man.
Everybody to a man. I mean, who was the first person Clark thanked?
I don't know. I didn't get to hear that part.
It was Andy. I mean, he said, this is for Andy Reid. I mean, the Lamar Hunt trophy and giving Norma a chance to kiss that and Clark a chance to hoist that over his head.
And all
that
the siblings,
was,
yeah.
That was for the Hunt family. That was for the family that brought this team to Kansas City and that allowed this team to exist. But that Lombardi trophy was the guys in that locker room wanted that for Andy Reid.
And to be able to, I've wanted that guy to get that for so long, especially here in Kansas City, just because the sacrifices he had to make from selling hot dogs when he was in his early coaching career and the sacrifices him and Tammy made just for him to live out a dream like this. And for,
I mean, he spent a year at Mizzou.
Yeah. I like Mizzou. But I mean, everything he's been through, all the times people told him about clock management, he's this, he's that, never going to win the big game, they're going to have to fire him. And I'm just so happy that he has this moment, and I'm so happy that he got to hoist that trophy. He got to touch it because that's what and every single person that joined him along the way, whether it was Rick Burkholder or Dave Tobe or Steve Spagnuolo or every single one of those guys, or Greg Lewis and Eric Bieniemy, and I can go on. Every single person that believed in who he was and trusted him along the way and help build this. I mean, there's so many players, so many alumni that this is a huge moment for. Whether it's Bill Moss, Dana Hughes, or Richard Balding, or those guys that I know, and like a lot of other guys. Like, I mean, this moment's for them too because
Jeff Allen,
yeah,
who announced his retirement tonight,
and Mike DeVito, and every single person. Like, I mean, there are so many guys that they helped make this happen. And I'm not just talking like during the Andy Reid era. I'm talking some of those rough 80 years, those 90 years. I mean, every single person that's been a part of this organization for 30, 40 years in some capacity, like, this night was all for them, too. And I think what's the coolest thing of all is, like, Andy Reid was able, Mark Donovan, Clark Hunt, they were able to get Andy Reid to come here. And on top of that, Andy Reid was one of those people, he brought so much joy to the city for the rest of some people's lives, for this moment, for this memory. And so every single person has that now and can cherish that and can get those Super Bowl champion T-shirts that have the Chiefs logo on them, or can get the jersey that has the Super Bowl patch that they won. There's just so many people that Andy Reid touched their lives in a positive way tonight and before this. And there were so many people, from people I've talked to behind the scenes that I know across the league, they wanted this so bad for him, and I wanted this so bad for him because I've heard stories about Andy over the years and what he does. And so for him to have this tonight and for him to be to finally punch his ticket to the Hall of Fame that he deserves, like, that's something I want to go to. I want to see Andy Reid in Canton because the sacrifice he's made, those long hours, those nights where he came out, where he wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and, you know, work 18, 19-hour days and all that type of stuff and all the stuff that guy's gone through. And I mean, for him to have this moment is just so massive. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for all those players, their families, and the sacrifices that everybody made. So for them to have this moment, I'm beyond ecstatic for all of them.
Yeah, no, I mean, seeing the orange Gatorade get dumped on Andy's head was probably the highlight of the game.
Now, do you want to hear from Andy Reid and Brett Veach? Because we have sound from them about what they thought about winning that whole Super Bowl thing.
When you mentioned some of the other players, some of the people I thought about was Mark Donovan, who, you know, you talk about the players, the coaches, and all that, but it's also front office staff. I mean, it's Mark Donovan, who spent time in Philadelphia. It's Brett Veach, who got his start with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And these guys who he's shown trust in, mm-hmm. you know, he's shown loyalty to. And look, sometimes to a fault. You know, I mean, we saw it with Bob Sutton and you know, last year. Andy's been a loyal guy. Eventually, though, he made the move he needed to at the end of last season, and the result is going to be a parade on Wednesday. But, yeah, let's hear from Andy Reid and Brett Veach about this moment.
Yeah, you know what? The guys were jumping on top of me. So, I mean, it was – I got an ice bath and everything. I mean, it was one of those. So I didn't have a lot of time to reflect on anything other than trying to keep guys off the field. We still had a minute or so left to go, so anything can happen, you know, as you know. But it was awesome. I'm in there just to be able to celebrate with the guys who have worked so hard, you know, to get you to this spot and or to get themselves, the team, to this spot. I mean, and to see how excited they were. These guys were out of their minds. I can't wait till I get with them and, you know, be able to enjoy that part.
It feels amazing. It's been quite a ride, quite a journey. These guys worked their tails off. And we've had adversity all season, whether it was early on with injuries and into the playoffs, deficits against Houston and Tennessee and even tonight. But these guys are resilient, and I think they kind of mirror the image of the head coach, just completely resilient and hardworking and determined, and the result paid off tonight for sure.
Resilience. Absolutely. I mean, it speaks to this team all season. When you go back to October and think about Pat's knee, when you think about them bouncing back from the loss to Tennessee, haven't lost since that game, but they kind of bottomed out there. Double-digit deficit in every playoff game. I'm sure that's never happened before.
And some of the off-season adversity.
If you want to go back to...
There was a time there where a lot of people were very nervous and didn't know what was or wasn't going to happen.
I'm sure there was a time that a lot of us were convinced Tyreek Hill was not going to be on the football team, you know, and at the end of the day, he ends up coming down with the catch that was the biggest play of the season. And it's crazy. It's just crazy. And look, I love the Royals. I love everything about the Royals. The Royals were probably my first love because I was 7 when the 1985 World Series happened. And 2014, 2015 was amazing. I loved what had happened to the city. Guys, that ain't it's not the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are a different level, I think. And I think you're going to see that with the Super Bowl on Wednesday. Although we're supposed to get
the parade.
The Chiefs Kingdom Champions Parade, which will be on Wednesday. Good God, it must be after midnight.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, the parade is going to be Wednesday. We're going to get some snow. It's possible that they'll try to push it back to Thursday. That's the weather delay date. So just keep that in mind, depending on what the forecast says. I think the city would be more likely to try to move it. I'm not sure the players are going to want to. They're going to want their offseason to start as soon as possible. But it'll be Wednesday or Thursday potentially. And it's all going to be here on 41 Action News. I mean, we're going to be on air starting at 4:30 in the morning. We're going to have exclusive access behind the ropes of this thing. The parade will actually start at 11:30, and you will be able to see it all on 41 Action News. We're going to have the chopper up. We're going all out for this coverage. We're the home of the Chiefs, so we have to.
Whether you're in town or not, there's going to be opportunities for you to be able to watch
it. Yeah, I mean, it'll be on all our streaming platforms, on OTT. You'll be able to watch it on our mobile app. And then, of course, online and over the air. Look, I've got to give a shout out. You know, I put together the podcast early in the week with our crew that was down in Miami with all 8 of the folks that went down there. And we had some other, some people from our sister stations that pitched in too. But they did some great work down there. I thought, I really think our, not to, you know, I know I sound like I'm shilling a little bit here, but I think our coverage, was the class of the city as far as, the broadcast journalism this week. I truly believe that in my heart.
All I can say in a nice neutral way is the 41 Action News crushed it.
And
I'm not comparing that to anybody else. I'm just saying that they went out and crushed it. They put together a Super Bowl champion effort.
I hope you guys understand. That's the equivalent of Nick Jacobs verbally hugging
Don't you ever use that word hug again. But we have some more sound from some other players that are very excited. Not about the coverage, but about winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, let's hear from the offensive players and then we'll dig a little deeper on this game.
So for this one, we have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce talking about their feelings about doing that whole Super Bowl win.
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was. I had 2 goals when I became the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and the first goal was to win the Lamar Hunt Trophy. I wanted to bring it home, the one that has our founder's name on it. I wanted to bring it to this family and this organization. And the second most important thing was to get Coach Reed a Super Bowl trophy. I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't think he needed the Lombardi Trophy to prove that, but just to do that, I mean, it puts all doubt aside, and he's going to be listed as one of the all-time great coaches in history whenever he wants to be done, which I hope is not anytime soon.
Being in his position, man, is so amazing, man. Being a part of this team, because this team is so special, and I wish this team could stay together for many years, but unfortunately, they can't, so. Winning it when we can is so crazy, man. So, like I said, I'm blessed. I'm very appreciative to be in this situation, Thank you to the Hunt family, to the community of the Chiefs. Man, thank y'all for supporting us, man, through our ups, our downs. Thank y'all, man, for everything, truly, from my heart.
I just want to go enjoy this with my guys, man. It's a unbelievable feeling, unbelievable opportunity. I can't thank Kansas City enough for embracing me for who I am. My teammates for fighting every single day, and a lot of emotion. I'm so excited for Andy Reid getting the ring for him, bringing that Lombardi home to Kansas City. It means the world.
So that was Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce talking about what this moment means to them. And one thing that is insanely impressive when you think about it and reflect on it. April 27, 2017, Patrick Mahomes gets drafted by the Chiefs, homegrown quarterback that the Chiefs have clamored for quite some time. And less than 3 years later, he's an NFL MVP, took the team to 2 AFC championship games at Arrowhead to host them, won an AFC championship game, won a Super Bowl, and Super Bowl MVP. That's a heck of a resume before you've even hit three full years.
He's the only player in the history of the NFL, 100-year history of the NFL, as of this year, to have won an MVP and a Super Bowl title before the age of 25. And then you throw in Super Bowl MVP as well. I mean, he's the best player in the NFL right now, I think.
And he broke the Madden curse.
Yeah, right.
Can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
Well, I don't know. He did miss a few games with a knee injury. Maybe that... Maybe Patrick Mahomes is just so good, he just spat in the face of the Madden curse.
That's something they're going to put on his Hall of Fame resume if he gets a... Yeah. If he has a career...
That'll
like
be the first line. Broke Madden curse.
Broke Madden curse and still won a Super Bowl that year. Even when it tried to take him down with a dislocated kneecap.
And, I mean, guys, he's... As I said, he's not even 25.
He isn't even in his prime as a quarterback.
No, he's nowhere near it.
It's concerning. If you're an opposing team.
Dream. This is going to be great, but I'm telling you, Vegas already thinks it's happening again. Like, I mean.
We'll see what happens in the offseason. There's going to be changes. I'm going to be busy using my tax refund on some cheap stuff.
You and I will be back all week, all off season to talk about what's going to happen, you know, moving forward with the salary cap and everything like that. But all that matters today, I mean, this team will be together for another 3 days. And then after the parade, you know, the business side sets in. I mean, there's going to be some harsh realities there. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to find a way to keep that Mahomes fella.
I think he's safe. I think he'll be okay. I think he earned it.
That was the other part of the story. Like, so I as I'm texting my wife, when it gets to 20-17, when Kelce gets that score, and then they get the stop and they get the ball back, and then Kelce throws a 38-yard bomb to Sammy Watkins down the right sideline.
Mahomes, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. I then texted my wife. I said, I keep forgetting we have Mahomes. And then, of course, you know, you get the touch into Damian Williams, and then Damian, you know, finishes it off after the next drive. Mm-hmm. Hey, Frank Clark, quiet night all day. And I tweeted right before that drive started that, you know, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu had not, you know, you hadn't heard their name a lot. And I think that's by design. I think San Francisco knew what they were doing. They knew who they were going to go after. They were isolating the linebackers. You know, they were picking on who they wanted to pick on.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to avoid Frank and Tyrann because they know those guys can make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get in that position where all of a sudden they're down, and now you can't dictate as much offensively, the defense gets the upper hand a little bit. You knew it's winning time. It's time for Frank Clark and or Tyrann Mathieu to show up. And on the 4th and 10, the guy who shut the door, slammed the door on the 49ers was Frank Clark. Let's hear from some of the defensive standouts for the Chiefs.
That'll be Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, and Chris Jones.
Heard of him.
It's like, I don't know how to feel, you know. I'm so happy, man.
Good job, Clark.
I'm just so happy.
50 years for the organization.
Yeah.
It's your first one, man.
It's my first one. I'm just so happy.
Yeah, it hasn't really hit me yet. Obviously, it's pretty cool to celebrate my teammates. I think the most important thing, obviously, you know, winning this for Coach Reed and, you know, taking this trophy back to Kansas City.
We all been champions all our life. We just never won a championship. They put us together, we unified, and we made it happen. Not only for ourselves, but for our family, for our generation, for the Kansas City organization, for Coach Reed, the Hunt family.
Sack Nation!
They may have to change it to Lombardi Nation now.
Yeah.
Get a couple more of them.
Right. No,
unless the Packers already took that, I'm not sure.
Well, they don't. Not lately.
Hey, let's show the Packers some respect. We have some fans here in the building that we all respect.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. What have you done for me lately? I love Aaron Rodgers. I can't even do it with straight face. I still love Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He was my favorite non-Chiefs quarterback, you know. Before that, Mahomes fella came along.
So, Todd, it's for people that don't know, we're taping this at about 1 a.m. in the morning at this point since we get done with our
right, jobs. Yeah.
So, Todd, you got any final thoughts?
I just hope people enjoy this moment because there's no guarantee that you're you're going to be back in this position. You hope that they can go on a two-decade run similar to what the Patriots just did, you know, with Tom Brady and with Bill Belichick. Of course, you know, if you look at that 18 years from now, Andy Reid would be 79. So I think it's probably wishful thinking that Andy would stick around for quite that long. But man, this is special. Patrick Mahomes is special. Tyrann Mathieu, every time that man speaks, I gain more respect and admiration for him. He and Patrick Mahomes are special people. Forget about the football part of it. They're special people. They just happen to also be awesome at the game of football, and they happen to be on the same team. And they're selfless guys who their priorities are right. Their priorities are right, it seems to me, in life. Their priorities are right when it comes to being leaders on a team. I think if you can keep this group of guys together, I don't think this will be the last one. But like I said, there's no guarantee. So enjoy the hell out of this. You know, I'm not advocating that you go blow your entire tax refund on Super Bowl merch like Nick Jacobs is suggesting.
I didn't suggest for anybody else. It's myself, okay?
But I'm just saying, man, like enjoy it. Like savor this, because this doesn't happen all the time, you know. And like I said, it hasn't happened in most of our lifetimes.
That's what I was about to say.
You know, it's never happened as far as most of us are concerned. And it's a great time to be a Chiefs fan. It's a great time to be in Kansas City. And you know, I mean, there's so much divisiveness right now. I really hope this is the kind of thing that, you know, can unite us. I remember back in 2015, Kansas City felt like, you know, you walk around, everybody's got the Royals gear on and stuff like that, that, you know, that Christmas. And it was cool. You felt like you were all part of the same little club. I hope that happens with the Chiefs. And I hope we can all be a little kinder to each other as a result.
Well, my final thoughts on this that I'm going to have for tonight, and don't worry, we have more podcasts coming. We'll have one after some point after the parade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll be back.
During our normally weekly scheduled
That's
one.
That's right. After the parade, things might actually finally calm down. Like, it's the last 2 weeks have just felt like an irritated nerve.
It's been a whirlwind. Yeah. but what I will say is a guy who deserves so much credit, not only for Andy Reid, we already talked about him, is Brett Veach. And what I want to say about Brett Veach is when he took over this football team, there were a lot of warts on this football team that we talked about on this podcast that needed to be fixed. And whether it was think about how many guys contributed to this year and to this moment. Patrick Mahomes, who Veach, people will not agree with me on this, and I know people will fight me until the bitter end. Brett Veach was behind Patrick Mahomes, and I'm telling you that. I've known that for a while. That's why I keep pushing it, because guy was working insanely hard to get that quarterback drafted here in Kansas City.
Go back and read Therese Paylor's story about how Brett Veach, or how the behind-the-scenes work that Brett Veach did to bring Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City.
And so he brought Damien Williams, who had two crucial moments and crushed it in the entire postseason.
Yeah, I was going to say, his postseason run was otherworldly.
Sammy Watkins, who came up in some of those key moments, got Stefan Wisniewski earlier this year.
Off the scrap
heap. Yes, got Mike Pennell off the scrap heap to bring in there. Brought Terrell Suggs at just the right moment. Without Terrell Suggs, they may not win that game. Now. There may be some times
How
where
cool
they,
is that for Terrell?
They, yeah. Yeah.
Been here 2 months. Yeah. He gets another fat ring to put on that finger.
And then Frank Clark that you traded for that a lot of people were upset about.
It was a gamble.
You brought in Tyrann Mathieu. You brought in Breshad Breeland. Damien Williams.
Damien Wilson, too.
Wilson, sorry. And then you can go on down the list, Mecole Hardman, and you can keep going and keep going. But at the end of the day, and Rashad Fenton, and there's so many guys that he brought in that all made the difference, that were all resilient. And I just don't think Brett Veach gets as – I hope he gets the credit he deserves for helping put this team to where, instead of it just being a team that can get to the divisional round, he figured out ways to take them to that AFC championship and to that Super Bowl caliber. So Brett Veach deserves a ton of credit for what happened, and I hope he gets his due.
Steve Spagnuolo, too. I mean, he found a way to use guys that...
Steve Spagnuolo, Brendan Daly, Dave Merritt, Matt House, all those guys. Yeah. They took it. They were all another part of that. That took it to that next level. That got them over that hump. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, this is what you brought those guys in for. That's what you paid them for, was to take you to that next level.
And the other thing that I love about this season... This was not a dream season where the Chiefs just mounted a white stallion in September.
19-0
and you know, and rode like William Wallace onto the battlefield, and it wasn't a Hollywood movie. I mean, there were, I mean, they lost three straight games at home. They looked inept with an injured Patrick Mahomes against the Colts. Everybody thought that Patrick might have torn his ACL and be done for this. I mean, there were very much down moments this season. And I think even for people like you and I who follow it, study it, probably have a more objective, less emotive view of it. It wasn't until December when they started just clowning people, and that defense was really playing well against the Raiders, against the Broncos, played pretty well against the Patriots. It wasn't until then that I started to feel like I did in training camp that this was a team to beat, maybe even a team of destiny. But this team faced adversity, and they checked all the boxes they needed to along the way. And that's part of what I think makes it feel sustainable moving beyond this year to me.
Couldn't say it better myself, Todd. Plus, it's also almost 1:30 in the morning.
All right. So, I mean, we normally, do things on the way out, but I'm just going to – we'll see if Nick can get it this time. Let's just do a how about them
Chiefs
on the way out. Have a good day, guys.